To the saints of God, welcome to the Church of Christ and Meets on Miami Gardens Drive. We're thankful that you are here. We hope, trust, and pray that as we all assemble today, that we will be mindful of just the opportunity God has given us to serve him, to worship him in spirit and in truth. As we said earlier, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. To all of our visitors, welcome to the Church of Christ that meets on Miami Gardens Drive. We're thankful that you are here, and we hope, trust, and pray that as we preach the word today, that you will be encouraged, that you will be edified. Edified means built up, but also informed on what it is God requires of you and me. And so as we look to the word of God today, we're just thankful to all the brethren for their service. And we know that every now and then we'll have some technical challenges as we did this morning. And to all our brethren, thank you. We know Brother Slocum was attempting to lead us in prayer, but we had a little technical snafu. And I know Brother Slocum, I will say this to you, Brother Slocum, directly. It's all right, brother. I know you are a man of God and you wanted to lead us in prayer. We'll just get you next week. So it'll be for Wednesday as well. So thank you to all the brethren who work so diligently, working with us through this medium, so that we can see and hear and worship together. And we hope, trust, and pray that the day will come soon where we can come together physically, in person, where we want to continue to use wisdom. Happy Father's Day to all the men out there. We wish you and we thank you. Wish you a happy Father's Day. And we hope that your families, not only today, don't just take care of daddy today, but don't forget about tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And so as we say on Mother's Day, every day is Father's Day. So honor your father. And for those who have lost their dads, as I have, as Rick and I have, we are just mindful. I hope you've learned some lessons and you honor them through the life that you live, that you keep on living, you know, as well. And so with that in mind, we want to turn our attention to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to the word of God this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. And we will begin to look at, we'll begin reading at verse number 1 of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee." And what was that promise? "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And so as we look to the word of God this morning, let's just take a look and just exegete. As we use that word every week, and exegete means to simply pull from the scriptures what's there. So the Bible is clearly saying that children have an obedience, a responsibility to God. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, you can obey your mom and daddy domestically. You can obey your mom and daddy when it comes to schoolwork and all of that. But there's nothing greater than doing the Lord's will. There's a parental responsibility. There's a child responsibility. So when the Bible addresses Paul writing to the Church of Christ at Ephesus, says, "Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right." There's nothing greater. When people talk about doing the right thing, and there's nothing more right or righteous, because that's what that word really gets into. The righteous thing to do in your life is to honor your father and mother who honor the Lord. Let me say that one more time. The most righteous thing in this world is to honor father and mother who lead you to the Lord. That equals family. That equals a legacy. That equals a standard of living where we as a family serve the Lord. I wish that was more the norm than the exception. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. This is the thing to do to be right, to be righteous with God. There's one of those few occasions where you've got right and righteous, not just personally being right as in correct. We're talking about how do I remain righteous in the Lord? Because I got to do right by God. You can't be righteous in the sight of the Lord and disrespect your mom and dad. You can't have it both ways. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Moses in the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, talks about the promise of honoring father and mother. And what does that promise? Long life. "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Unfortunately, with juvenile delinquency and a lot of things taking place in this world, we don't know when we will die. We don't know how we will die, but we will die. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday, a deeper look at death. But one of the things that's important is that promise of just doing right. You know, if we as children, because all of us are children of somebody, honor them, live right. And the Bible says, you know, that promise is that you may live long on this earth. But now let's talk about daddies. And I want to spend some time on daddies today. And I got a disclaimer in just a minute. Really more of a confession, a public confession for the world to hear. And it's going to be recorded as well. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Provocation means just that. You can be a catalyst. You can poke somebody to do something. That could be good or bad, just like zeal we talked about last week. So provocation means I can hype you up and to get you doing the right thing, or I can provoke you where you're going to swing on me. Think about that provocation. But now the Bible says, and ye fathers, do not provoke or provoke not your children to wrath. Daddies, don't be so harsh, or don't be careful that you don't lead your children down a path of wrath as opposed to righteousness. But the Bible says, but bring them up. See that phrase, don't send them to service, bring them up. Set that example. Be that role model. But bring them up how? In the nurture, that word is translated training. Bring them up in the training and admonition, instruction of the Lord. Let's read that fourth verse again. And daddies, we're going to talk about Daddy's Day. Happy Father's Day again. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So motivate them to do good, not evil. Motivate them to be upstanding and righteous in the sight of God and doing those things that are just pleasing to God as opposed to wrath. Because I've heard a lot of children, and Rick and I worked in juvenile justice for a number of years, and I heard a lot of kids say, I can't stand my daddy. I can't stand my daddy. And keep in mind where those kids were. As I said, Rick and I worked for well over a decade with kids who were arrested, with kids who had broken the law. And it was a common theme, I can't stand my daddy. This is what the Bible's talking about. We don't know what the daddies did, if they were even present in their life. But those daddies provoke their kids. Now, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You could have a daddy that didn't do a thing for you. That doesn't mean you have to do wrong. But many use it as an excuse. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So let's go to work now. And I need to make a public confession let me say this. Let me be very clear. Our lesson today is inspirational fathers. And I have talked to, and I've been preaching for a little bit. I've been preaching, I don't know, I last count over 25 years. I love preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I picked up on a pattern. Every Mother's Day, my tone changes, my facial expression changes, and I start talking all light like I'm talking now, saying, Mamas, we love you. Mamas, we just want to encourage you to keep doing your thing, Mama. We love you, Mamas. And then June comes around. And then my voice changes, and I say, all you deadbeat dads, sit up in your pew, and y'all better just tighten up, brothers, and God bless you. So I want to make a confession today that I've been whooping daddies every, and I don't know if it was all 25 years, but I just want, and y'all daddies out there, you know who you are, because some of y'all been talking to me. So brothers, every brother woke up this morning saying, oh, it's Father's Day, every daddy. And who preaching? Brother Gail. Oh, Lord. And they put on the seatbelt and say, well, let me just sit back and he's going to talk about me like a dog. And then say, God bless you. And then sit down. Today, I'm putting on my coach's hat. Today, I want to coach up our dad. Look at that smile. I want to coach up. Let me try to hold that smile. I'm going to coach up our dads today. I'm not going to beat you up. And if any of you have ever played sports, and even if you haven't, we want to look at the game film first. And when you look at game film, you look at things that might not have gone well. But the purpose and the motivation is for us to be better in the game of life. And so to all the daddies out there, I love you. I want to provoke you to do good. I want to provoke you. I want to encourage you today like I would in a huddle with the team. And I want to coach you. We're going to look at some daddies who didn't do so well, but daddies, we can learn from them and be better daddies. We're going to look at some daddies that were incredible. We can learn from them and be good daddies. How was that? It took me 25 years, but I thank God I made it. Mama, I made it. So here we go. As we think about the word of God today, and as we think about all that the Word of God can do for us. Let me just go ahead and adjust my screen here for a minute. Y'all stay with me for a minute. There we go. These engineers are on it today. So as we think about the Word of God, as we coach up our daddies today, and not just to daddies, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you all to understand something. When we preach the gospel, it's for everybody. This is the Lord's day. And so we ultimately need to obey and serve our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus the Christ. And so as we look at the Word of God today, I want to talk about some things. Let's look at game film first. What are some things daddies need to be aware of, mindful of, and beware of? Let's go back to the beginning. Brother Gail, Brother Lenny, fasten your seatbelts. Brother, we got a few scriptures we want to read today. Let's go back to Genesis, the first book of beginnings. The book of beginnings, Genesis, the Bereshit in the Hebrew, which means just beginning. And it's interesting, as Brother Rick mentioned in his Bible class, incredible Bible class today, there's three dispensations. The patriarchal, where God spoke directly to the fathers. Patria in Latin means father, like paternity leave. Daddy gets that time off, if you will. So there's a patriarchal age or time frame, a mosaical time frame where God spoke through Moses. And then, of course, we're now in a Christian age where God speaks to us through His Son. And so when we talk about fathers, I'll be going back to the patriarchal age quite a bit today, when God spoke directly to the fathers, as I speak directly to all the daddies out there and to all the families out there as well. Genesis chapter 13. Let's go back to the book of beginnings. Genesis, the 13th chapter. Abraham and Lot had to, Abraham said, you choose where you want to go. You go left, I go right. You go right, I go left. So daddies, our first coaching tip today, and this is going to be in the lens of coaching, inspirational fathers. I want to inspire every dad to make sure we are aware of the right things and beware of the wrong things. And I say that with all the love in my heart, because I want all daddies out there to be honored, to be respected. But I want all daddies out there as well to do the right thing. Genesis chapter 13, beginning at verse 10, Abraham and Lot. Where did Lot look to? Read.
And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar.
And so Lot looked out there and he saw a well watered plain. Everything that looks good may not be good for you. Everything that looks good may not be good for you. So it looked good, and this was before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for their evil. Go ahead and read, son.
Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other.
Come on.
Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom.
There it is. So daddies, our first coaching tip, you look at the game film, it didn't work out very well for Sodom and Gomorrah. Daddies, when I say game film, let's take a look at it. Brothers, daddies out there, let's be mindful. Let's be mindful. Because see, Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. He was leaning toward evil. Materialism is something we got to be mindful of. There's a lot of good, hardworking daddies out there. Don't ever let materialism get in the way of you doing God's work for your family. The game film says it all. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't work out. They were not only defeated, they were destroyed. But Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. And so, brothers and sisters, and to our dads out there, now let's be mindful of that. Look at verse 13 for me, Gail. Read.
But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
There it is. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Our first coaching tip to the dads, beware of materialism and evil company. Beware of evil. Beware of materialism and evil communications or bad company. Lot pitches tent towards Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Let's go ahead and keep looking at some examples of dads, what we need to be mindful of and beware of. We think not only about Lot pitching his tent towards Sodom, but for those of us that are daddies, we have an obligation to our children. I told you all about those kids in juvenile justice, all boys, 13, 18-year-old boys, who in many cases couldn't stand their daddy, and they were very vocal about it. We got to restrain our kids. We got to keep our kids in check as fathers. And so let's take a look at the film. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel, the second chapter. We'll begin reading at about verse 12, Brother Lenny or Brother Gail. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at about verse 12. because we're going to look at some select verses. Time will permit us to look at all of it. But 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll take a look at about verse number 12. What does the Bible say?
Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord.
So now his sons did not know the Lord. So here's the thing. As children of God, please let us make sure that our kids know the Lord. As daddies, Eli was a high priest. He was a priest of God, but his kids didn't know God. I remember vividly one of our mentors, a man who mentored Brother Rick and myself. He talked about all the time how he spent so much time with so many families. Preacher, come here. Preacher, come here. Preacher, come here. But he forgot some very important people, his own house. And he shared that with us openly as something that hurt his heart because his sons had not obeyed the gospel. I don't know if they have by now, and I pray to God that they did. But his sons didn't obey the gospel. So you're going in and out of the house. And sadly, your own children didn't know the Lord. Drop down to verse 17, 1 Samuel 2.
Wherefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord.
So not only did Eli's sons not know the Lord, they were pretty rough. The Bible says in verse 17, their sin was very great before the Lord. As my grandma would say, these are some trifling boys. Their daddy, a priest. The sons, trifling. And the Bible says, even to the point where people disrespected the offering to God. So look at this in a modern day example. Imagine when you think about just doing what's right by God. Imagine as it relates to, you know, we're in worship service and you got to worry about your own kids acting a fool. Imagine that. And so what the Bible is saying is, here's a man of God working and his sons the sins are so great that the people disrespect the offering that's going to God. Drop down to verse 24. It gets even more interesting. Read.
Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress.
So now Eli's saying, but the boys, what you're doing ain't good. Because you are now making God's people to violate. You're causing other people to stumble. So my sons, now that doesn't exactly sound pretty authoritative. What you're doing is not good. And I wasn't there, so I don't know how he said it. But we're going to get another scripture to tell you what he did not do. And this is game film, brethren. I'm only taking here, brothers, not to beat you up, because I know I got an obligation today. I want you to see the game film. And if we focus on materialism, we focus on keeping bad company, it'll tarnish our responsibility, our awesome responsibility as dads to God. And so now Eli says, what you're doing isn't good because you're causing other people to stumble. But did he do his job as a daddy? 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the verses 13, 1 Samuel chapter 3, look at verse 13. Let's find out exactly what kind of daddy he was. Did he discipline his children? 1 Samuel 3 and 13. Go on and read the Bible.
For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, like the Lord has spoken. The Lord, for I have told him. Now, we understand the Lord is speaking to Samuel right now, verse 11. Give you some context. God speaking to Samuel in verse 11, and he says, I will say something to make everybody's ears tingle. I will say something where you will know exactly where I stand. See, we will never have to guess what God is thinking. And so the Bible says in verse 12, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. God said, I will finish what I start. And what I do will make everybody's ears tingle. And as our brother Ferreras just read in verse 13, look at what God said about this particular father. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity, the lawlessness, which he knoweth. Daddy, you know what's going on. Because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. You did not restrain. Restraint, you know, a restraint. See, a belt is a restraint. A belt holds up my pants. That a belt right now, and although you only gonna see the top section, but I assure you, I got on pants right now. But that belt makes sure that my pants stay up. And a belt, now some of y'all don't know what a belt is, and that's the problem these days too. See, a belt can not only, is it a restraint, a belt can kind of keep the peace as well. Now some of y'all thinking, Lord have mercy, this preacher, I'm about whooping kids. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly the Bible. I'm gonna take you to the Bible as well in just a minute. But he didn't, and you can restrain verbally. For those of you that are that don't be reading all this Dr. Spock foolishness, I want to just go ahead and bring it back. This is what the Bible says. The Bible talks about a rod of correction. My grandmama had switches, and some of y'all don't know what a switch is either. See, if all y'all know is time out, and I said it like I meant it, go to time out, Johnny, and Johnny's gonna time you out. Listen, the Bible, God said, you didn't restrain your sons. And because of your lack of restraint, Daddy, look at the game film, brethren. I'm coaching you up. This is what the Bible says we need to be aware of. So let's talk about discipline for a minute. Discipline is so important. Proverbs chapter 29. I wish I had time to look at everything in Proverbs because there's a lot of scriptures there. But we want to talk about discipline, the necessity for discipline. Let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. And let's take a look at it. Let's go to, and brothers, and I will read one, and I want you to wait for me in Proverbs 29. But I want to make sure, because I know, because once I mentioned that belt, and that wasn't in my notes, but since I brought up the belt, and once I brought up the rod of correction, I need to give you some scripture on that. Because some of y'all may not believe in whooping. Oh, I'm sorry, chastisement, this intellectual crowd. Discipline. Let's go to Proverbs 22. I'm coming to you, brethren. You wait for me in 29, but I need to do something first. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Proverbs the 22nd chapter. And the verse is 15. And we'll look at a couple things here. Discipline. And we're going to come back to our coaching up our daddies. Go to verse 6, as a matter of fact. Proverbs 22 and 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Let me make sure my pace is not too fast so I can make sure everybody can understand and follow me. Write down Proverbs 22 and 6. If you are a parent, you need to have these scriptures memorized. Train up a child. Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So you heard in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Bible said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, the training, and admonition, the instruction of the Lord. So Paul writing to the church of Christ at Ephesus, now the wise man Solomon, you can make these scriptures now. In Ephesians 6, the Bible says, train up, bring them up, Ephesians 6, 4, train them up. So guess what? That means there's a, you're together with them. Train them up in the, train them up in the way they should go. And when he is old, see, there's an interesting that, and I tell you what, I love this piece. Because in Ephesians 6 and 4, 6, 1 through 4, the Bible talks about if you obey your parents, you may live long on the earth. Wise man Solomon says, train him up. And when he is old, y'all get that? When he is old. So if you've done right by God, you've done right by your parents, you may be blessed with old age, being seasoned. When he is old, he will not depart from it. That word old there is translated when he is mature, when he or she is able to do things on their own. And let me say this to all the children for a minute. Time out on the daddies. I'm coming back, daddies, for the kids. I grew up in the Lord's Church. I was baptized when I was about 9. That makes Rick was about 12. And so when we were baptized, yes, our mama and our grandmama, thank God for it. I'm going to call their names, Sister Viola Claypool and our mama, Sister Lenora Petaway. Thank God that these women of God, in the absence of a daddy in the home, to all the single moms, recognize, don't you substitute faith for some bootleg father? They were an example for us. They taught us. They took us. They didn't ask us if we wanted to go to church, quote unquote. We are the church. We went to worship. We went to Bible study. But now, there's a point in our lives as children where we make our own decisions. I've seen so many kids leave the church because mamas and grandmamas, faith, can get you started. They can show you the way, train them up, bring them up. But you as a child of God have a responsibility. And you show me a child who's been surfing on mama's and grandmama's faith, when that wave comes to an end, You're sitting there paddling like you don't even know. You'll start believing things that aren't biblical. You'll say things like, I love the word of God. I love God. I respect God. But yet you don't do what he says. You can't have it both ways. So to the children, this is bonus scripture now. To the children, you need to be rooted and grounded in God's word. Because mama and daddy who love you, that clean you up when you couldn't clean yourself, clean places you didn't even know what they were yet, their faith gets you started. But your faith will take you home. I'm talking to eternity or to a place of torment. It's so important that all the children who are under the sound of my voice right now recognize your individual responsibility to God. Now let's go back. That was a timeout. That was a commercial break for the kids. Let's go back to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train them up. Train them up in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs chapter 22. Stay with Proverbs 22 and drop down to verse 15. So training them up means what? Well, let's find out. Verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction. But the timeout room, no sir, no ma'am, Johnny, and if your son is named Johnny, I'm just using that as an example. Jenny, I'll call John, make sure we get male and female. Jenny, please go sit down. Now, ain't nothing wrong with telling Jenny to go sit down, but when she looks at you like this, you need, and ain't like, Jenny, please, no. Jenny, what did I tell you? What did I tell you, Jenny? See the look on my face? So you got to go from nonverbal to the friendly verbal to kind of a little concern, but there's something called the ride. We're talking about discipline your child. Let me read the Bible again. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There's a way to get Jenny to sit down, and they're going to be just right. So when you go to service, when you're in a restaurant, and Jenny's sitting just like this. I love when people walk up to me and Chantel, because she certainly helped too. Your kids are so well behaved. I just smile. Because that's what's expected. Because that rod was present early. And when you get that rod in early and you teach them, there's instructive discipline and corrective discipline. May we all understand that. You got to teach. You just don't come out just beating your kids. I'm not saying that, folks. You instruct them. You teach them. You model before them. And when they fail to do what you tell them to do, you have to correct them. That's why the shepherd has a rod, the crook, and if you will, the shepherd's rod, that rod and staff, they comfort me. But that rod is also to discipline those sheep, not to hurt them, not to abuse them, but to direct them and redirect them as well. Foolishness is bound, Proverbs 22 and 15, write them down. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Amen, saints of God. Now, brethren, you can wait for me in Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, pick it up in verse 15, if you will, brethren. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. Go ahead and read.
The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
We live in a very permissive time right now. Oh, let them do what they want to do. Baby, don't be so hard on those kids. Let them do what they want to do. We need to be there for our children. They need to hear this word I'm about to say. It's a very short word, two letters. No. And let that simmer for a minute. Let me say it again in case you missed it. No. And you kind of freeze on them too now. Don't just say it like no and walk away. Just like no. Now you freeze. Let them see your eyes. Let them know that you're serious. No. Daddy, I want to do that. No. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. It's not limited to the mom. The Bible says, you know, that the rod and reproof. So it's not just the rod, the physical discipline. The reproof is the verbal instruction. Now let me tell you why I had to go ahead and tighten you up. Let me tell you why I had to discipline you. Because I told you this, you did, I told you right, you went left. I told you take out the trash, you suck your teeth, and then that's why, you know, we needed to tighten you up. Amen. The rod and reproof. Don't just do one without the other. And there's some families out there, and I want you to understand this. If you only focus on, you know, putting on your children, no, you better teach them. It starts here long before you have to tighten them up. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Drop down to verse 17, son. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 17. Come on.
Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul.
Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. The reason I can not so much sit back, because, you know, parenting never ends. But the beauty right now, when I see our beautiful children, they've been trained, they've been instructed. They will make mistakes, as all of us will. But it's an autopilot right now. Because see, now having, especially having older sons, so they can check the younger ones. And so it's just almost, it's a beautiful thing. Thank God for parenting. Thank God for obedient children. I don't want to beat up the kids either today. Thank God for the children out there who are doing right by God. We love you. It's our job to teach you. But most importantly, we pray that you will just keep holding on. And for the children out there who've kind of wandered a little bit, you've allowed this permissive world to influence you, come on back home. Don't start believing and hanging on to foolishness. Because as we think about honesty, we got to be honest with ourselves and honest with our children. I want you to turn with me to Joshua. Let's go back to Joshua. Brother, I'll read for a little bit, brother, give you guys a short break. So we know that we need to not only, if you're taking notes, this Father's Day coaching tip, we're still in the game film. Part one is game film. Part two, we get in the game. Just so you're clear, using some athletic illustrations. I'm still working on game film. Beware of materialism. That's like a turnover. That's looking the wrong way. Beware of materialism. Beware of evil company. Lot pitches tent towards Sodom. We also talked about Eli. You got to discipline. You show me a coach that doesn't discipline his team. You show me a boss that doesn't check his employees or her employees. You're not going to be successful. So again, the coaching film, brethren, and I hope you're listening, materialism, evil communications, be careful. Secondly, we got to show some discipline. Eli didn't restrain his sons. They caused other people to stumble. Wise man Solomon tells us that we need to discipline and use some correction, some reproof, verbally and physically. It takes both. And so now we want to talk about the next coaching tip, honesty. We got to be honest. When you make a mistake, be honest about it and let people know. So this honesty we're talking about now, let's take a look at it, brethren. We're going to go to Joshua, chapter 6. Joshua, the sixth chapter. Joshua, chapter 6. And I want you to follow me as I read. Because we know that God sent the man to destroy Jericho. And after Israel defeated Jericho, they went on next to a place called Ai. But I want you to see something. Because, brethren, you need to have honesty in your home. And encourage your kids to be honest. And so the coaching tip here is don't let sin be found in your camp, in your household. Don't let sin permeate and get comfortable in your camp. And so that goes back to restraining. It goes back to discipline. But let's use a specific example. I'll read select verses just for time's sake. Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 19 with me very quickly. Joshua 6 and verse 19. So when God sent them in to Jericho, God made it clear that everything belongs to me. You may go in on my behalf, but it all belongs to me. Joshua 6 verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, dedicated in other words. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So God's saying, you go into Jericho, defeat them, but the spoils, the gold, the silver, the garments, all that comes back and they take it to the treasury of the Lord. So that's pretty clear, right? Well, let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Well, let's go to say, I'm sorry, drop down to verse 21. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, Joshua 6 and 21. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. So what did they do? They did what God said, go in and destroy. But remember what God said, everything that you get is mine. Bring it back and just put it in that pile, put it in this designated place because it belongs to me. Verse number 27. Joshua 6 and verse 27. Watch this. As you think about what Joshua did, so the Lord was with Joshua and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And so this is a good thing. They did what God said, how God said do it. They utterly destroyed, but we got a problem. Let's go to Joshua 7. Joshua 7, and we'll look at verse 1 very quickly. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and a cursed thing. Somebody did something wrong. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. God said, don't touch it. So be honest. God said, everything belongs to me. And so now let's take a look at this. Let's drop down to verse 11 of Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, verse 11. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and lied or dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. So the coaching tip, the third coaching tip of what we need to avoid is let's be mindful. Don't live a lie. Don't try to cover up a lie. Be honest in your families. And what does honesty look like? Mama, daddy, now I've done something wrong. Talk about it. Be honest. Amen. So now we know that God told them it all belongs to me. They took it, put it in their own stuff. One particular person did. And so now what does God say do? He said, call them out, family by family. Verse 13, Joshua 7. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. There's something wrong in the camp. There's sin in the camp. O Israel, thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You gotta get rid of this accursed thing. And so you need to understand something. Because as you think about what God said to these people, you'll see that they defeated Jericho, but I tore them up. That next country they went to, that next nation, they beat them up. Yeah, I skipped Joshua 6, but let me just go back very quickly. I want to show you this. Because see, when we start getting successful and things start working well for you, don't ever forget God's word. See, they defeated Jericho. But in Joshua chapter 6, the Bible says, verse 2, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. What did they just say? And brothers, I came back here for a reason. Don't ever underestimate the enemy. Don't underestimate the enemy. Joshua, they had beat Jericho, a city that was straightly shut up. It was a very well-fortified city. So they went up to peek at Ai. And the men said, it's just a few people there. Don't even send the whole team. We got this. Daddies, we got this. Let's see what happened. I'm coming back to the camp. So verse 4, so they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. They only sent 3,000. And all these men came running back. What happened? Verse 5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. So the men of Ai killed 36 of them, and the rest of them started running. For they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. That's why in chapter 7, God said, you sinned against me. There's sin in the camp. And now you can't even defeat little I. You can't defeat the underdog, the team you thought you could just spank, the team you thought you could beat handily. They chased you out of the arena. They chased you out of here because there was sin in the camp. So to our families, to our daddies, let us learn from this game film and recognize that we need to eradicate any sin that's in our family. Talk about it honestly. Restrain our kids. Don't focus on materialism. And you'll see what happened here in Joshua 7. Let's go ahead and cut to the chase here very quickly. In Joshua chapter 7, in verse 15, the Bible talks about they brought up the people. In verse 15, the Bible says, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up, verse 16, early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes or families, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Drop down to verse number 20. Watch this now. In verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, it looked nice looking clothes, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. Oh, this man says that clothing looked good, and all this money, I had to do something. Daddy's learned from the game film. Be mindful of temptation. Achan said, I saw it and I wanted it. And I took them. Behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So I not only took it, It's in my tent. I buried it under the ground. It's in the dirt in my tent. Verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. We need to be honest before God. What's your point, preacher? You'll see that he not only was stoned to death, his daughters were stoned to death, and everything he had was stoned to death. I don't have time to read anymore in Joshua 7, but here's the point. When they found out there was sin in the camp, they laid it out before the Lord. Our third and final coaching tip before we move on to the second of two parts of this lesson, be honest with God. If sin is in your camp, sin is in your family. If you want to grow, if you think about, why does it seem like we're always spinning our wheels? Our family's not doing what it needs to do. You need to find out what's going on. Be honest with your kids. Be honest with yourself. That's the coaching tips, brethren. Hope y'all appreciate that, because now we got to take a look at some men who were, now let's go to offense. Now let's get in the game. Because see, there's some men we can learn from who did right by God. Brethren, go back to Genesis chapter 5. We recognize, beware of materialism. Beware of evil company, restrain your kids, discipline your kids, and be honest. We got that. Now, brethren, here's some men who we can emulate. I want to close this lesson by going through a few examples of some men we can emulate. To all the great daddies out there, keep it up. You're doing God's work. You're raising kids. You have raised kids who now are serving God. To all the men, thank you. God bless you. We have some examples in scripture of things we need to be aware of. And I hope we understand and we all learn from it, including myself. Let's talk about some brethren. Let's talk about some men of God who did right in the sight of God. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Enoch is our first example. Go ahead and read. Verse 21, Genesis 5.
And Enoch lived 65 years and began Methuselah.
Read.
And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years.
This man was faithful. He was faithful. The Bible talks about he was 65 years and he begat Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God after he begat. So not only was he faithful before he had kids, after he begat Methuselah, the Bible says he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. He was fruitful. He had more children and he walked with God. Verse 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. This man lived a long life, what we call an annual calendar, what we call a full year. Is that, I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. I'm not going to deal with that. But I tell you what, from beginning to end, this man was solid. Enoch, what a daddy. And I tell you what, we can preach a lesson on that. Rick could teach a daddy 365 and teach on Enoch. That's a good lesson right there to all the daddies. He lived, let me give it to you again. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Daddy 365. Come on now. Genesis chapter 5. Give me verse 24. Because he was daddy 365, what did God do? Read.
And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Bible just says God took him. Come on, Enoch. Now, some of we just preached on and taught about the Hadean world. You know, all souls go to hell. All souls go to a place of departed souls. The Bible says God took him. Now, we're going to show you another scripture in the New Testament. People say, well, what does it mean by taking? He's no longer here. Who took him? God did. I would imagine this man walked with God, and God said, come on, Enoch. Lord, have mercy, daddies. That's Daddy 365 if I ever saw it. But let's go a little deeper. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. See, the Hebrew writer talks about it. You're going to find a pattern here. And I hope y'all got time. Y'all got time to turn the collard greens on, Lord? Better yet, turn them off. But here's the thing. We got work to do. Because I want to coach up our daddies today. I've been waiting 25 years for this moment. Preaching over 25 years. I've been fussing at daddies my whole life. And now I'm just so excited to coach up these daddies and inspire daddies to be aware of turnovers, beware of things that can hurt us in the game of life, brethren. But now, look at Enoch. A couple weeks back, or if you will, maybe a month ago, we talked about want to be like Mike, want to be like Jesus, if you will. But you want to be like Enoch. I want to be, God took him. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to the text. Hebrews 11th chapter. And let's take a look at verse 5. Read the Bible. Come on, brother.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death.
Hold your point, son. Wait a minute now. So we just talked about the Hadean world, that we live and we die. We're going to talk about death again on Wednesday to piggyback on my dear brother Rick's lesson. But now the Bible says God took him in the book of Genesis chapter 5 in verse 24. So now the Bible says he was just translated. So he did not, the Bible says, I want you to read it now, by faith, Enoch was translated. You know what the word translate means? To move. So God moved him from one place to the other. The Bible says, Enoch, that he should not see death. Lord have mercy. So Enoch did not die, you know, naturally. God just took him from mortality to immortality. God took him, because we all die. You know, you die of natural causes. You die because you sadly could be at the hands of somebody else. God said, it's your time. I want you now. Lord have mercy. Read, son. Read it from the top. Verse 5 again. By faith. Come on.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Make no mistake about it. This daddy was stone cold solid. This daddy was righteous in the sight of God. He was translated by God. People are like, anybody seen Enoch? No, I ain't seen him. Last time I saw him, he was in the backyard. Like, he gone. Left. God took him that he was not found. And his testimony before God moved him. Translate means to move. We use that word all the time in linguistics, in language. Hola, hello. You move the word from Spanish to English. Como allez-vous? How are you? You move from French to English. The word move. And because Enoch was moved by God, his testimony before God moved him from one place to the other, the Bible says his testimony was he was pleasing to God. You want to be a good daddy today? Look no further than Enoch. His testimony was that he pleased God. Daddies, you getting all this? Let me smile again for the daddies. Daddies, y'all getting this? Watch the game film so we can get better. Because we're in this together, daddies. Enoch is a great example of doing what God wants you to do before God takes us home. Another man of righteousness, we got to go back again to the patriarchal period, which means Genesis. Let's take a look at Noah. Genesis, brethren, chapter 6. Genesis, the 6th chapter. We'll begin reading at about verse number 8. Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse number 8. Genesis, the 6th chapter, and verse number 8. Y'all all right? Say amen if you can. Wherever you are, I can't hear you, but say it loud enough where I can, or at least I can feel it. Say amen again, saints. Amen. Genesis chapter 6. We know Enoch was a great dad. God took him because he was faithful. Genesis chapter 6, talk about Noah. Beginning at verse 8, read the Bible.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God.
Here we go again. See, a man that walks with God before you have kids will be a man prayerfully that will walk with God and teach his kids. Because the Bible says these are the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No, see, God is watching. See, that's the message. God is watching me as a daddy. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah was pleasing to God. The Bible goes on in verse number 9, so these are the generations of Noah. He was a just man. So he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man and perfect. That doesn't mean he never made a mistake. Perfection in our modern day English talks about, you know, one who never makes a mistake. Well, then the Bible would be a lie. Talking about mature. Another word, grave, G-R-A-V-E. Grave not meaning going to the cemetery. Grave means you are serious. So you can be serious. You can be mature. You can be mature, genuine. These are qualities of a good man, a good father. I'm a kid at heart. I will laugh and joke with my kids. We will have them cracking up. I'm the funniest daddy I know in this house. But let me tell you something. When I'm serious, it's hold. It ain't a laughing matter. When I'm serious saying, take out the trash. Oh, dad, you better quit tripping. Oh, no. Now, when I say do something, it's done. Amen, daddies. But don't be just all hardcore all the time. So Noah was just. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was sincere. And you'll see what Noah did. Because in Peter, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, brethren, chapter 2 and verse 5. Not only was Noah a just man, not only did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord, the Bible talks about he walked with God. See, what does it mean to walk with God? So I want to show you, brethren, because for the daddies that are out there, and there's a necessity. I'm going to say this as lovingly as I can. Brothers, we got to work. A father who doesn't work. Now, you may work very hard on your job. You may be the employee of the month. You're getting up early. You're getting up late, coming in late. Or maybe you worked a late shift. Whatever that looks like for you, daddies. But if your kids only see you working for, quote unquote, the man, working for money and not working for God, you can discourage your kids. So to all the daddies out there, to all the husbands out there, work for God too. Yeah, provide for your households. Don't ever stop working. We can't. Men can't. Unless you're physically unable. I get that. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. Daddies work and provide. But you need to work for God. Amen? Brothers, I say that nicely, brother. I'm going to try to say it nicely. You got to work for God. Proverbs, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter 2 and 5. Come on.
And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly.
So now we recognize, now we read all the time, you know, again, as we look at Peter, talking about, you know, how Noah was saved, you know, eight souls were saved by water, 1 Peter 3:21. We recognize that, we preach it all the time. Noah, his wife, Noah's three sons and their wives, the eighth person. So that's when we talk about the eighth person, Noah, his three sons, their wives. So again, Noah, his wife, three sons and their wives. So Noah was an eighth person, eight souls saved by water, 1 Peter 3:21. But let's go back to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, where the Bible talks about clearly, and spare not the old world, the ancient world, if you will, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. When I talk about men of God, fathers doing right, brothers, here's the encouragement. Not only do we need to be like Enoch who walked with God, but the Bible says Noah walked with God. And how did he walk with God? He was a preacher of righteousness. That doesn't mean you got to be in a pulpit every Sunday, but are you talking about God with your kids? Are you showing your kids you're serious about doing right by God? Noah, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah preached and reigned before. God said, build an ark of gopher wood, Noah. Noah did what God said, how God said, do it according to the pattern of God. God told Noah what to do, and Noah preached. You better get in before it rains. And the people probably told Noah, I wasn't there, obviously. You must be crazy. It ain't never rained before. You must be crazy. God knows my heart. You must be crazy. You better go on somewhere, Noah. Daddy, hold your ground. Daddy, keep preaching, standing on this word, because your kids are watching. So Noah was just. He was a good man. Noah did right by God. Y'all got time for a few more good daddies? We should always have time to hear about some more good daddies. Because here's the one. The next one we go to is the father of all nations, the father of many nations. Abraham. And you know we got to go back to the text. We got to go back to Genesis. See, that patriarchal period. Let me say that one more time for the benefit of those who may be visiting. The Bible is broken down into three distinct time frames. The patriarchal age. God spoke directly to the heads of households. The Mosaical age, or dispensation as it's called. God spoke through Moses. And now the Christian age. God speaks to us directly through Christ. Noah can't save my soul. The law of Moses can't save my soul. Only Christ can save my soul. Coming back to you on that in the end. Let's talk about Abraham. Brethren, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis the 18th chapter. We'll take a look beginning at verse 18. Genesis chapter 18. And we'll take a look at about verse 18. I'm on 18 and 19. We'll pause between the two, brethren. Y'all doing a good job today. We're going to keep y'all on staff. Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 18. Come on.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great, mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
So seeing that Abraham will become a great and mighty nation. So now understand something. You see in all these cases, these great daddies who they were somebody before they became the daddy. They were committed to God. You show me a brother that's not working and all this. So we got to be mindful. Let me keep working for God, because once you become a father, you have an added responsibility. Your kids, your family, they're watching us. They see us. And God's, read verse 18 again, Lainey. That's so good. Read it again, please.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
Verse 19, tell me about Abraham. Does God know Abraham? We saw that God saw Enoch. He knew Enoch. He translated him, moved him. We know that God saw Noah. Did God know Abraham? Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, read.
For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him.
Did y'all see that? You see what God said? For I know him. Daddies, this is what motivates me. To all my fellow fathers out there, this is what keeps me in check. This is what reminds me, because God said, I know him. I know Abraham. God sees what we do and don't do. And this is not an indictment. This is an encouragement. Thank God that they can see all the good things you're doing out there, Daddy. He sees you working hard. He sees you showing up for brothers' meetings. He sees you serving God in service. He sees you working to not only provide for your family physically, but providing for your family spiritually. You call those family meetings, Daddy, at home, and you say, let's talk. Let's pray together as a family. I want to encourage every family, if you have your children in that house with you, and even if they don't live with you, maybe they've grown, you call them and get them on FaceTime. Pray as a family today. That's going to be my admonition, my encouragement, my instruction to everybody. Pray as a family today. Not that you got to do it just today, just do it every day. Pray together today. The minute I get out of this pulpit, the minute worship closes, I'm going to bring my family together, and we're going to pray together, because I'm thankful to God to be able to get up and see my kids. Amen, saints. Show them that we're serious about this spiritual thing. The Bible says in verse 19, one more time, that God says, I know him, that he will command his children. See, again, that ain't talking about kids. If you feel right, if y'all feel okay, y'all gonna come to service with us today, get up. You gonna live in this house. You gonna live in this house? It's time to go. I'm not talking about being harsh. Let me be clear. See, when you have command, that means authority. Look at verse 19 again. We're in Genesis 18. Hope y'all still there. Don't you leave me. For I know him, God says, that he will command his children and his household after him. Sisters, don't get married if you ain't gonna follow a man. Let me just let that sink in for a minute. This is Father's Day. Why y'all talking about me? Because you're part of the family. I'm my own woman. You're gonna be your own woman. Don't get married, because you're gonna mess up that brother. The Bible says, I know Abraham, the father of all nations. And in verse 18, since he will become the father of all nations, this man has to be right. You're going to lead a family, you got to follow God. The Bible says in verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household. That means family by definition in the Hebrew. That's everybody in that house. This is how we need to live. Brothers, if you can't do that, please don't get married. Baby, is it okay if we go to church today? Brother, don't do that. You mess up the whole team. You mess up every... No, brother, don't be that, brother. Let me check with her and see if it's okay. Check! God already said it's okay. Please understand what the Bible... This is God speaking. Forget me for a second. I get excited about this because I love the Lord, and I love hearing about... I'm a big sports fan. I love looking at tape of just great game films of some of the best that ever played the game. But now we're talking about the best that ever played this game, quote unquote game. Those who ever walked on this earth, that God said, that's my man. That's what we want to hear. My man, for I know him, verse 19, Genesis 18. We may preach to midnight. I don't know, but I'm going to preach as long as I can today to see what kind of endurance y'all have. Y'all all right? Some of y'all just put me on, just shared, stop your video and mute it. And said, this brother lost his mind. This is just good. Genesis 18 and 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. So you can't have people coming after you unless you're in the lead. You got to lead. After, let's go, family. Lead your family, brother. And they shall keep, they, not just Abraham, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham, that daddy, that which he had spoken of him. Amen to the daddies. Did Abraham do this? I've been showing you a pattern of Old Testament, New Testament, so we got to go ahead and do it Abraham too. Before we go to the New Testament for our last few examples, we got to go back here again. Let's go to James chapter 2. Come on. I'll pick up this one, brother. James chapter 2. So we know Abraham was, God knew him. We knew he commanded his children and his household after him. Now that word command, let me just, because some may be stuck on command. See, that's just chauvinistic stuff. That's what I don't like about church. No, no, no. That word command means to lead with authority. And you want to go ahead and throw in Ephesians chapter 5. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Does Christ lead the church? Is Christ the authority in the church? Amen. Yes, he is. Does he lead by being harsh? No. He directs and disciplines when he needs to. But Christ is the epitome of love. He gave his life. So when we see that word command, we're talking about leading with authority. May a man never apologize for having authority over his household. But brother, I'll tell you something right now. Lead with love. Lead by example. And God will be pleased. James chapter 2. Very quickly. Verse 20 and following. But that wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Abraham did what God said. Justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. So seeing how that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Faith was made complete because Abraham did what God said. And before Abraham did all of this, God said, I know him. And look at verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, charged unto him for righteousness. And he was called, and he was called, and Abraham was called the friend of God. Quoting Isaiah 41 and 8. Abraham was called the friend of God. I want to walk with God. I want to lead my family. I want to command my household in love and by example. And the Bible says Abraham was called the friend of God. To all the daddies out there, I'm coaching you up today. I want us to be called the friend of God. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Thank God we can do his will his way. Y'all got time for two quick ones? Let's close out now. Zacharias in the New. Let's go to the New Testament. Luke chapter 1. Very quickly. I'm giving you two more, then I'm gonna sit down. But I tell you what. I say we're going to go to midnight. We're going to just cut it a little short of midnight today. We'll cut it just a little short of midnight, if y'all don't mind. All right? Luke chapter 1. My family going to feed me today, so I can't be up here all day because they're going to feed me. Luke chapter 1. Let's go to verse number 5, brother. Talk about Zacharias.
Father of John the Baptizer.
This morning in this incredible Bible. So the father of John the Baptizer. Talk about John. Jesus says is none greater born of women than John the Baptist. So think about that. If Jesus says that about John the Baptist, then he must have had some kind of daddy. Ain't that something? I love when my kids are doing things that are right. I want you to understand something. When we think about the word of God, when we think about how we ought to live, Jesus says in Matthew 11:11, there's none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. So let's take a look at his daddy. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. Go ahead and read.
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
So now we know Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth, and we know that Zachariah was a priest. There was in the days of King Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, her name was Elizabeth. Now tell me about this man again. Long before his son was born, long before he became a father, tell me about his character. Luke 1 and verse 6, Gail. Go ahead and read, son.
And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless.
So now we got mom and daddy here. And so that's what I'm talking about. Choose wisely, because the Bible says, Zacharias, this priest, this man, verse 6, and they were both talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Give a sister some credit too. Walking, they were both righteous before God. See, that's the most beautiful thing about a family. And brothers and sisters, husbands, fathers, and thank God for all the married couples out here today that are joining us. God bless you. May your family be focused on God. May your family stay focused on God, because the Bible says, and they were both righteous before God. Not righteous in our own eyes. There's a difference. I want to make sure you all understand that. We can be righteous in our own eyes. We talked about that last week. That's not the righteousness we're talking about. They were righteous before God. Enoch was righteous before God. Noah was righteous before God. Abraham was righteous before God, even being called the friend of God. And now Zacharias and his wife were righteous, the Bible says. They were both righteous, Luke 1 and 6, before God. Doing what? Walking, living in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Blameless. You need a standard of conduct, and that standard of conduct is the word of God. Before I take my seat, there's one more that I want to share with you. It's going to be quick and to the point. Brethren, go back to Joshua chapter 24. Let's pick it up in verse 14. Because not only, and the point I want to make about Noah and the point we made about Enoch, they walked with God. They were righteous. They did his will. The point we made about Abraham, he did what God said. He used his authority and love to lead his entire family. These are qualities of a great dad. And we got some great dads out there. Keep it up, brethren. The qualities about Zacharias, he not only chose a good woman, but they both walked with God. Amen. And they were counted righteous. And now Joshua chapter 24, one of my favorite, Brother Rick, favorite passages. Joshua chapter 24. We're going to begin reading in verse number 14. We're going to close out in verse 15. And this lesson will be yours. Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse 14. Read.
Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
The beautiful thing about today, another Father's Day in the year of our Lord 2020. Is that we can encourage other dads. That's my heartfelt desire today. Our lesson, Inspirational Fathers. We've talked about many of them, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Zacharias, and now Joshua. See, I wanna inspire and encourage every single dad, as Joshua just did, because that encouragement also means put away anything that's distracting you. That's what Joshua's saying. Now understand that these folks were, he put them in three categories. And you're going to see that in verse 15. He's going to break it down even further. But Joshua said, put away anything else. Only serve God. Don't serve your job. Yeah, work. But your job ain't your God. Your wife is not your God. Your children are not your God. So don't put away every distraction. I'm not saying don't love your wife. That would be foolish. Love your kids. But understand that you as a man, as a father, have an ultimate responsibility to God. And when you do right by God, everything else falls in line. Amen? He says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. Don't do it because mom and daddy are watching. Serve him in sincerity. Be genuine. He goes on to say, and in truth. Because see, God already knows us. God already sees it. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Let's go, brother. Let's take it home. Joshua 24 and verse 15, talking about inspirational fathers. Read verse 15. Come on.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve.
Hold your point, Lenny. Wait, Lenny. Hold on now, brother. I should have warned you beforehand. Now he says, now if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you make a decision today whom you will serve. If it seem evil to serve the Lord, then make a decision today. He gives them three options. Read them slowly for me, Lenny. I'm going to interject because I got to do that on this verse. Come on, brother.
Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood.
hold your point. At every comma, just hit that pause button. So the Bible says here, he said, now Joshua says, now daddies, you make a decision today. You can serve. He said, now serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. But if it seem evil, if you got a better plan than God, if you got a better plan, some alternative plan, you want to call an audible, well, daddies, he said, make a decision. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods, option one, on the other side of the flood. Whether it be the gods on the other side of the flood, which your father served. So one option to all, not just the daddies today. If you want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can keep following mama and daddy's religion. But when you come to know the truth, you can either stick with mama and daddy's religion or you can serve God. So option one, serve, do what your daddies did. Do what your ancestors did. Give me option two, Lenny Reed.
Or the gods of the Amorites.
Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. So he's saying option two, you can do what everybody's doing around you. See, they were dwelling in the land of the Amorites. So one option is you can obviously do what just follow the family's pattern. But you better come to knowledge of the truth. Or you can just do what everybody's doing around you. Well, everybody else says ain't nothing wrong with this, this, and this. We have justified sin to the point in this country and in this world to where people are thinking it's just, oh, it's okay. It's okay with me. It's okay with my friends. It's okay with my peer group. You can serve the gods, the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But now that third option, Lenny, the third option, and I want you to read it with authority as a husband and as a father. Ferreras, don't let me down. Come on.
But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's what I love about Lenny Ferreras, because not only did he speak with authority, because he's speaking for his household as well. May every daddy, if you are a father right now, I want you to say it with me. I want you to say, if wherever you are, if you're a daddy, and hopefully your kids can hear you, they can't help but hear me in this house, but I want every daddy out there to say this with me. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say it, daddy. Don't be scared looking at your wife. Don't look at her. Say it again. I got to do a take two. Brothers looking at their wives. Is it okay if I say it, baby? You better go ahead and say it. I said I want to beat you off today. Let me take it. Brothers, if you be so kind as to say this with me, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank God for our daddies. I love you. I'm thankful to God I'll go shoulder to shoulder with you. When the Bible talks about being together, I think about those beveled shields in times of warfare in biblical times. That shield had was kind of rounded on the sides. And if you were shoulder to shoulder with another brother, you formed a wall. There's nothing greater than brothers standing together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we close out today, I want you to keep your eyes focused on the cross at Calvary. Please understand that God wants us all to be saved. God wants you and me to be saved. Jesus Christ, because his Father sent him, the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world, they're talking about the Father, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God the Father sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The only way you can be saved is through the Father's plan. The Father's plan is simple. We must believe and we must understand that you cannot be saved outside of Jesus Christ. Let me say this again. Jesus Christ is not the head of every church. There are those who are in denominations. What does a denomination mean? It means divided. You divide you take the whole and you divide it. You put it into denominations. One Father, one Son, one Holy Ghost. And that when the Father sent his Son, Jesus the Christ, to die, Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the Hadean world, shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell, hellfire, Gehenna, will not prevail against the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what Jesus said in that powerful statement, that I will build my church, those that get into this ark of safety, not the ark of Noah, not walking through the Red Sea, that you keep in mind, water Ark of Noah was delivered. Red Sea, they went down into the water and they were delivered. You and I must go down in the watery grave of baptism. That's why in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, and while the ark was being prepared, the days of Noah were in few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. So we have to go down into the watery grave of baptism to be saved today. Not going through the Ark of Noah, not going through the Red Sea. You and I must go to the watery grave of baptism. Salvation's only in Jesus Christ. When you go to the water, you come into contact with the blood. Rick broke that down today. When you go to the water, you come into contact with the blood. And the Bible says you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It's a death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must believe that with all your heart. Believe that gospel. John 8 and verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You must repent of your sins. See where I'm pointing? When I repent of my sins, I am changing my mind. I change my mind to the point where I want to leave tradition, leave mom and daddy's religion, leave what popular opinion may say to me, and I want to just do right by God. I want to turn from my ways and turn to God. Having repented, I confess Christ to be the Son of God. You see it on your screen, Acts 17 and 30. I'm only quoting for time's sake. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Once you confess Christ to be the Son of God, Matthew 10 and verse 32, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And you must be baptized. You got to go to the water. The water, the Bible, it's two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. There's nothing holy about the water. It's by faith we step out. Having heard and believed, repented of our sins, confessed Christ to be the Son of God, I go down in the watery grave of baptism. I come into contact with the blood of Christ. You wash some dirty clothes, put them in the washing machine, and put some just water in there. It ain't gonna clean them. So the cleansing agent is the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Brother Rick. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Your sins can't be washed away unless you go to the water. So we all must be baptized. But I've been a part of a denomination and I was baptized. You got to be baptized into Jesus Christ. All that stuff you did before, I prayed, I told Jesus to come into my heart, and then I was baptized later. And see, the Bible says baptism. No, you can't be taught wrong and baptized right. You must be baptized into Christ, added to the one body, the church of Christ. And then you walk, you live faithfully until death. Revelation 2 and 10. And God has promised all to live faithful in Christ Jesus, including our great dads, a crown of life. Daddies, we love you. Happy Father's Day. Inspirational fathers. Before we sing this song, we want to encourage everybody. Because see that daddy, not only is it, if your only tool is a hammer, everything is a nail. Let me say that again. If your only tool, daddy, is a hammer, everything is a nail. You got to be able to downshift and just cry and laugh and hug. And so Jesus not only turned over tables saying, you made my Father's house a den of thieves, but Jesus also said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Jesus also said, I don't call you servants, I call you my friends. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, a friend like you. But Jesus is also softly and tenderly calling you today. He's not going to make you obey the gospel. He's not going to make you do right by his Father. You and I have an opportunity today to just do right by him. So as we sing this next song, we'll be led by Brother Lindsey Baker III, a son. And I want you all to keep Brother Lindsey Baker Jr. in prayer. He's not feeling well today. A loving father, a great example. And as we start singing a song, don't wait. Just start typing right now. Put your prayer request in the chat. Start doing it now. We don't want to miss anybody. I will keep talking. Start putting your requests in now. You want to be baptized into Christ? Put it in there now. You want prayer? Put it in the chat now. Put your name in there so we can call your name and go to our Father on your behalf. Don't wait. Put your requests in there because today is all we have. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Happy Father's Day to our dads yet again. As we sing this song of encouragement, if you're able and if you're willing, stand with me as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement. Won't you come?